This is a Black History Project titled A Study of Rich Poor Neighborhoods, A Black Perspective, 1900 to Present. I am James Johnson of the Afro-American Educators Association, interviewing Mr. James Sims of 849 Chopsey Hill Road on Monday, October the 10th at 6:40 p.m. Mr. Sims, I guess a good place for us to start will be for you to tell us or to tell me something about your early childhood. You know, where were you born, and tell me something about your family, number in your family, and so forth.
Well, I was born in Asheville, North Carolina, and I went to school there, and I finished grade school. And then I came to Bridgeport, was brought, in fact, by my family. And I was about 15 years of age when I came to Bridgeport.
I see. And what year was this, Mr. Sims?
1926.
I see. Now, what did you do when you came to Bridgeport in 1926?
Well, I was quite young. I didn't do any work. I just got little small jobs, like setting up pins for golf, for bowling, and this kind of thing.
What kind of jobs did your parents have and relatives? Was it just you, your mother and father, or
no,
or your sisters and brothers? Or?
Just my mother, my grandmother, my grandfather was here.
I see.
My dad, I lost him at early age. So it was just the three of us.
I see. Now what kind of work did the three of did your mother and grandmother
my
do?
Mother, she was a housewife, and so was my grandmother. My father worked on construction.
I see. Did she work when she was here, in when you came here to Bridgeport in 1926?
No, she didn't. My mother worked a bit, but my grandmother, she was just strictly a housewife.
Strictly a housewife.
Yes.
I see. What did
yes. And at that time, we lived on Goodsell Street in the North End. That's when I had my childhood. Well, preteen thing.
What were some of the things that you did?
Well, I played sports. And I, like I say, I worked off and on the in the bowling alley, which was the main bowling alley down on Main Street. I'll never forget it.
I see. What kind of sports?
I played baseball, golf, and at that time I bowled.
I see. What else did you do other than participate in sports during your teen age period, Mr. Sims?
Well, during my teen period, I didn't do much of anything. I didn't find any job, but what I just told you.
What about your social life? How was your social life?
Social life was fine. I just go around with the fellas and do the thing that teenagers had to do at that point. We used to go to pool room, play pool, and that was our day. We didn't go and play ball on the Seaside Park.
How was transportation during that time?
Transportation was very bad. We had the cars was out of the question. Once in a while, a dad or one of the fellows would drive us down to Seaside Park to play. But we had streetcars in those time days. So, most of us guys, we would walk down to the park. That's the type of transportation.
I see.
We had horses pulling the wagons around the place, too, at that time.
How was the black-white relationship during that time?
Well, it wasn't too good. I mean, you had your section and they had theirs. I mean, it wasn't too good. because
Section?
Well, we had the South End, and the whites had the North End, and the fellas on the East Side, they was mixed, but they wasn't together. We had a section on there too, and the West End was about the same. We had our little clique-like thing. It had to be that way.
How many blacks were there about?
Oh, that time, if we had 200 blacks in Bridgeport, you had a lot. It wasn't too many blacks. No.
Did you have an adjustment to make coming from the South to Bridgeport? Was it much different there than here in Bridgeport?
Well, I was always an easygoing guy, and I never had too much of a problem. Because, like I say, I played a lot of sports, and every time the guys would talk to me, they were all talking in my favor. So I don't know why, but I never had too much of a time, hard time, you know.
How about church, your church affiliation during that time?
Well, during that time.
Your teenage period.
I used to visit Messiah Baptist Church quite often. That was my church to go to. I hadn't joined at this point, but I would go there. And be in the class up there. They had the teenage thing up there. So that was my church at that point.
Do you remember much about the Depression, Mr. Sims? What you were doing at that time? What was your parents doing at that time?
My folks were working on the WPA, or this kind of thing. And I wasn't doing anything, more or less. Like I say, I was just playing baseball or golf or whatever we could do, shooting pool, this kind of thing. But my grandfather, he was a sole provider for the family at that point, too. But we didn't have what we wanted, but we had what we needed, that's for sure.
I see. Where were you during World War One, Mr. Sims?
Well, I don't know anything about World War One. I can't tell you anything about that because I was still in North Carolina.
I see. Now, after the Depression, what was your life like then, after
about
1932?
I met my wife. Still, I was, at this point, I was shifting weights at the Malva Line, I believe. This is a part-time thing for me. And I met my wife.
Malibu Iron.
Yeah, it used to be on South Avenue.
I see.
And so I had a little job down there, and I met the wife, and that was the extent of my working at that point.
When did you met her in 1932? You met her in 1932.
32.
When did you get married, Mr. Sims?
34. 33.
And you were working at the same place?
Malva Line, yes.
And how long were you working there?
Oh, at Malva Line, I worked until they left, I'd say about 3 years, until they left and went up Naugatuck. And during that time, my girlfriend, and now my wife, we got married just before they left.
I see.
And that was my first job, bringing in a paycheck when I got married.
Well, where did you live during the Depression?
I lived on the South End on Whiting Street with my family at first. But when I got married, I got a rent down on Johnson Street.
Let's see. Those were the only two places that you lived during the Depression?
Those were only two. When I left Johnson Street, after we were married, World War II was starting.
I see.
And I wasn't eligible to go because I had married and I had two children. And I was working in the defense plant.
Which one?
The Bridgeport Brass.
I see.
And we bought a place over on Reed Street.
I see.
In 42, just when the war started. So then I stayed at the Brass as long as I could.
How were jobs during that time, during World War II?
Jobs were very, very scarce. But it picked up as soon as the war started, because everything went on defense. Because I know when Pearl Harbor got hit, we worked 31 days in a row without stopping. Straight right on through, making shells and things for the shells and this kind of thing.
Was it easy for blacks to get jobs during that time?
In that time, you had only one spot to work. That was the casting shop. That's the only place the black face was allowed to work. You go to the employment office and apply for a job, they will tell you there's no opening in the casting shop.
Now, was this the employment office at the Brass or the local at the Brass?
At the Brass.
How was employment in general for blacks during this time? Do you recall?
Well, all I can speak for is what happened in the Brass, because that's the only job I ever had. I mean, after I left the Marble Line, after they left me, in fact, that's the only one I know about. But I didn't know anything about a general employment office or whatever.
Blacks, let's say that you knew during that time, was it relatively easy or was it rather difficult? I mean, it's your friends
who were
working, let's say, at other places during that time. Do you recall?
Well, I think every plant, is an industrial place. The plants always had one spot for the black man, and that was where all of the dirt and the filth and the oil and stuff was.
Shit.
And the dust and whatever. That was his job.
Let's see. How was recreation during that time, Mr. Sims, during this World War II period? What'd you do for recreation?
Recreation, we would get interdepartmental teams. And as a whole, it was good because we had a lot of fun. And we would play interdepartmental, different departments would play against each other. Once a week. And of course on Sunday we had our Sunday baseball, Saturday baseball, whatever. But that was all the things we could do.
How was race relations during this
time?
Well,
inside the plant it was fine because we had our little spot and anybody come there they would have to go along with what we were doing, you know.
I see.
So, but outside it was a different ball game at that point. But it got better after the fashion. And after we changed presidents of the Brass, that made a difference. Mr. Steinkraus was our president. And he made the Brass see the light. He made a statement that if a man can do a job, that man's entitled to the job. And that was a turnaround for us.
See.
That's when the people start moving around in different departments. The black man.
I see.
If you could do it, you had a chance.
He was more fair-minded about placing blacks throughout the plant.
That's right. If you could do the job, you had a chance.
I see. How did the war affect your family?
Well, like I say, I had two little girls at the time, and every time I got a greeting card, my boss would bring, I'd take it to my boss and I would get exempted. He would take it and says, people in the defense factories are exempted because they're working for the war effort. And I had about four of those. And then after, when the war got over, well then everything was all right at that point.
What were your working hours during the war?
7 to 3, my shift.
Overtime?
Overtime if you wanted it. But in my case, I didn't work too much overtime because I had the family. I put in my 8 hours and 7 days a week during this war effort.
Was there a shortage of food, or did you personally experience any shortage of food during World War II?
No, not really. I was able to provide for my family. We always had food on the table. When I went to the brass, we were making $27 a week.
Now, what about your social life during that time? Had it changed as opposed to during the time of the Depression or prior to World War II? Or was it pretty much the same?
No, it was just about the same. After the war started, I had more revenue to do the things that I would like to do, and we'd have more fun this kind of way. But it's pretty much the same. Yeah.
Where did most blacks live during World War II?
Well, most of them were in the South End. But you had a few on the East Side and a few in the North End. I originally was living in the North End. But when my family decided to move to the South End, that's where I went with them. So I grew up down there.
Was there a change in black neighborhoods?
A change
in black neighborhoods, let's say from the Depression, period, and then after, at the end of World War II. Did you notice a change in black neighborhoods?
Yes, you could see a change. You could see a change for the better, too.
In what way?
Well, they were the... most of the guys were working in the defense plant, you know, and they were getting better housing. They would move to a better place. I think it was for the better when the war started. They started living better.
After the war, 1945, 46, how was the situation? How was work then?
After the war, it was much better. And then we had better relationship, too.
How's that?
With the white and the black. Because I think the war did something to change the attitude of the people. They began to, because during the war effort, we all pitched in and did the job. And I'm pretty sure the war was a turnabout of the relationship between the black and the white at that point.
And you were saying the same for living conditions?
Yes.
Much better than that time?
Yes, I would say that, yeah.
What about the 60s? How do you reflect as far as the 60s were, concerned when you had the upheavals, the racial upheavals, Martin Luther King's?
That didn't affect us here in Bridgeport too much because we were still working real good. And at that point, I was made a foreman. I was the first black foreman over there. And I was made a foreman in the place. And everything was...
This was when?
This is in 55. And I was in that capacity off and on for about 18 years. That because of the way business would reflect, they would have to, I was the youngest foreman, and they have to started, if you come in last, you'd be the first to go if business got bad. So after the war, you know, changeover and whatnot, the business would get bad, they'd have to cut the force.
As the first, as the first black foreman, did you have any interesting experiences?
Well, to start off there, some of the fellas didn't like the idea of having a black boss over them. But that soon was rectified. We got together and had a meeting and we talked about the things, black and white. And like I said, the war changed the attitude of most of the people. So they accepted me. But I had an insight because I was playing baseball with all of them guys and they knew me and they kind of half liked me, you know. So I didn't have any problem.
See, what position did you play on the team?
Well, my regular position was third base, but I was somewhat a little place, any place that they wanted to put me. I was very agile for my size. Yeah, that was my base. Third base was my base.
How do you think the social upheaval in the 60s affected Bridgeport?
How did it affect Bridgeport?
To a small extent, large extent. Do you notice any changes once you had this social upheaval?
I think to a large extent. I really do. Because everybody would seem to be getting along real quick at that point. And then when Martin Luther King started that march and everything, things began to bloom out. And from that point on, it's been on uphill.
Did the blacks in Bridgeport actively participate? How did you feel about that? Participation on the part of blacks in Bridgeport during this social upheaval.
Yes, they did their share around here. I would say you could everywhere you went, you could hear them discussing it and doing the things that the people in the other cities were doing in that regard and on the social level. So I think it was very, very good.
As you had the social upheaval in the 60s, and then as you entered the 70s, the social upheaval subsided somewhat, but did you notice any change as a result of this social upheaval? Did you notice any change in the neighborhoods?
No. The neighborhood was the same, and it was for the better in the 70s. Everybody was liking everybody. Any side of the town, you would have your different element where it was bad, but overall, it was all for the better. Everything was good in the 70s, yes.
The black-white attitude?
Yes, very good, very good.
How about the desegregation of facilities?
No, you go any place you wanted to go as long as you had the funds.
How about employment and job programs?
Employment, they improved too. I basically think that the brass really took the first step on that. About if you can do a job, you have your chance to prove it.
See.
I really give Mr. Steinkraus credit for that. He really broke that up.
I see. And how about the social aspect? Was that was that much of a change in social relationship, even within the black population?
No, the social aspect was good. It was good. Everybody was loving everybody at that point. Because they had more funds to do things with, you know, and everybody had food on the table, you know. So I think it was very good.
Do you recall what you were doing during the Vietnam War that came a few years after the Civil Rights?
I was still working in the Bridgeport Brass.
During the Vietnam War.
I was still there.
Now, you were still a foreman there at the brass at that time?
Which year was that?
This was in the 70s. the latter 60s and the 70s.
First of, yes, I was still forming at that point.
And how would you compare the relationship then with early years as foreman?
It was beautiful. Everybody was just as happy as a lark, working, doing their job beautiful. They had no problems during that period. They had molded and gelled right into the workforce and did the things right. They were beautiful. Black and white were working right together. There was no more you with the black man in the casting division. Everybody was everywhere. We had 40% white, 50%, you know, this kind of, it was mixed up.
What brought this about?
I think more or less the war. Because everybody got fell right in there to back up the company, because we were in the brass industry, the copper industry, and we were making shells and whatever. And they all just pitched in and did a beautiful job. We must have got about 15 E's. They were giving us E's for so much production and all this kind of thing, you know. That's what they were giving the brass. We had E's all over the plant. That's what they were giving out for awards, you know, where you're doing your part.
Let's see.
And the black and whites, they really got together did a beautiful job.
How do you feel about Bridgeport blacks in general now? Do you feel that they have made as much progress or have taken advantage of the benefits that have come out of the social upheaval?
I think the old timers have benefited very good, and they've taken hold of whatever they were doing, and they're doing a better job. And they get more out of it and making more out of it than they did before. But it's just the new element that come around that's kind of hard to get squared away.
Why do you think it's that way?
I really can't put my finger on it. But the old timers, they knew what Bridgeport was like, you know, before. And once they got out of that rut and start climbing and getting the things that they really wanted to get, and social standard kind of come up, they know what it was like. So those are the people I'm saying that made the progress out of this. It's the young people that come around now that they figure the world owe them a living, you know, this kind of thing. So what can I tell you? But on a whole, we really grow.
I see. How did you happen to meet your wife, Mr. Sanders?
Well, I knew my wife's mother. I didn't know she had a daughter at the time. She had some boys, and we were friends. And they finally, the mother finally sent for her daughter to come up, and we would go down to the old Strand Theater on Main Street. And this is where I met my wife. Her brother brought her to the theater to meet me. And that was the start of a beautiful relationship.
Let's see.
That was kind of weird.
You said her mother brought her up.
Well, from North Carolina.
I see. What part?
Hamlet.
Now, are there any subjects or areas that you would like to talk about that I have not asked, Mr. Sin?
Well, let's see now. I can't think of anything that I could add to that, only that I worked 43 years in the brass, and I retired in 77, so at this point, I'm just a retired man.
How about the transition from retired to working to retired?
It was hard the first year and a half. So, but I did the things I wanted to do. I played golf and go for rides and whatever. But I got tired of it after a year and a half. So I got me a part-time job.
How did you account for it? What caused the problem in adjusting, let's say, that year and a half, first year and a half?
So? Well, after working 5-6 days a week for around 43 years, you get used to getting up early and going, and making those 8 hours. You know, it's just a habit forming thing. And once you retire, I mean, you get kind of lonesome for it or something, especially you miss it. You gotta adjust, that's for sure. But I played my part right out to the hilt. I played golf, I did some of everything, but when it